Author and podcaster Michael Harding, good afternoon.
Hello, good afternoon. How are you?
I'm good. How are you, Michael?
I'm not too depressed.
Okay. Yeah, okay.
I should be depressed with the COVID, but I'm not.
Good.
I'm
how
more worried
how?
About the cat. I have a wild cat and it's scratching the furniture and I'm really annoyed with it.
Okay, and that's a nice low consequence thing to worry about rather than
it's
big
really
things
so
control.
Small, isn't it? Yeah.
Come here, how do we step back and chill out with all this noise and everything in the air, and it's Christmas is seeming stressful and everything now. So how do we chill out a bit?
I think the ways that I found worked for me in the past 12 months was, number one, it was reaching out to people in the family. Reaching out and telling them you're vulnerable, or telling them you're afraid, or if you're on your own and you have a bad night and you're worried about COVID, you contact people. And communication is what we do well in Ireland, and it's getting us through this, and it will get us through the rest of it. And the other thing you do, I think, is that you go inside yourself into your own heart. And you had an artist on earlier saying the same thing. Meditate. Find a space for yourself, even if it's only looking out a window. You have a favorite armchair. Give yourself time to meditate, to go inside into your heart. And if you can do it with modern meditation, with yoga, with Buddhism, or with Christianity, if you want to go back to the old-fashioned ways, give yourself permission to light a candle in front of a holy picture or a kind of a... You know, sometimes a picture of somebody that you loved and that you're grieving, somebody that you've lost and that you're lonely for. Light a candle for them. Look at their picture and feel that you're connected with them in the soul. And that can be, for me, I'm just telling you, that works for me, to be honest.
You're a big fan of having these little rituals as well, aren't you? Which is, I suppose, we have lost the lighting of the candle, all those things. Michael, you've gone into a quiet place inside yourself there a little bit. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to take a really quick break and we will get you back on a phone line maybe and talk to you. Okay, let's take a break. Michael Harding, are you there?
I am, Brendan.
I feel like I'm conducting a seance here. Is there anybody there? Michael Harding from beyond the lake. Listen, you were just getting me nice and chillsome there now. So we'll try and get back that mood again, because it was a very hard and rancorous first hour. So you were saying about the rituals.
I was listening to your first hour and I was feeling more stressed as it went on.
I'm sorry, we try not to do that.
No, but you have to.
We're trying to be constructive, though.
But it's essential. You're giving us the right information, so we be careful when we're walking outside the door. But definitely, I know that last year I was very ill and I had two operations and I'm safe now and I'm better. But I found going inside into yourself and finding some little ritual, like, as I say, lighting a nightlight, those little nightlights you can get, and you put it in front of maybe a holy picture or a religious picture if you're Jewish or Buddhist or Hindu or whatever. But alternatively, it's very beautiful to do it for somebody who's bereaved. You know, if you have a loved one that you're missing, to light a candle for them and to light it in some safe place, obviously.
Yeah.
But it brings you into the other world in a way that I think we need to. And I think we need to give ourselves permission that even though we have disposed correctly of a lot of institutional tyranny and stuff that went on in a very bad way, we still give ourselves permission to be people who are ritualizing, people who are faithful, people who have imaginations, and people who have souls.
Yeah.
You know, we still want to believe that even though it may be irrational, that there is a sense that, you know, my mother or people that I loved or people that have died in COVID, they're still with us. There is still a space in the heart which is different from what's on the surface level of reality. And that place is a place of love and calmness. And you can go there
by doing
a small ritual.
So the physical acting out of the ritual almost prompts us into the other place.
It absolutely does. It's like, there's a word they use nowadays for it, Brendan. It's embodiment.
Okay.
That you can live on the inside, but it's all in your head. But if you do an action, like you're embodying it, so you're bringing it to the surface. And sometimes if you have a lot of bad things going on in your head, like really negative, you know, you're abusing yourself about your failures in life and all the rest of it, and you're kind of going into depression, which I have done, I've been there.
Yeah.
what happens is that when you light a candle, when you embody some sort of beautiful thing, you kind of balance, you push back the dark energy.
And it snaps you back out into the world as well, does it?
Exactly.
Get your head out of your backside a little bit, yeah.
Well exactly. And yeah. Again, I'm trying to say, I suppose, to give people permission to do old-fashioned things. Like, yeah. For example, going into a church, when it's empty, there's nobody there, the door is open, it's quite safe. You walk in, you spend 2 minutes in it, and you walk out. Your body has done something to kind of externalize your inner soul. And what you're saying is, I am positive. I am believing positively in the world and in everybody around me, no matter how dark things are. And that, I think, I have to say, it's just been one of the things that got me through the past 12 months when I had to go in and out to Beaumont Hospital for operations. And I would encourage anybody.
Yeah, and you know, and then I suppose on the other hand, going in is all very good, but you also have to kind of, as you were alluding to earlier, connect out as well and connect to the world, don't you? And connect to the things bigger than your own thing.
I do. I think that the communication kept me going is, I had better conversations with people in the past 12 months than I probably had for years. Because yeah. I was scared because of COVID. I mean, there were times when people had COVID that I knew and I was worried. And there were people who have passed away, not from COVID, but they've passed away in this COVID time, which is very, very lonely. And people, I was in hospital where I had no communication. The beloved drives me to the front of Beaumont and says goodbye, and that's it. And you have to go in and spend your 3 weeks and make the journey on your own. And that's huge for people. So, you know, if this darkness of COVID is bringing us together to share more, that will also help us to come out of ourselves and not to be kind of inside in your own head all the time. And if you're in your own head, then do something beautifully positive, like a little ritual, as I say, light a candle for the one that you miss, rather than just, you know, the way people can hold grief, it's like a kind of a lead weight inside them.
Yeah.
You can hold grief like it's a stone just in a lump in your throat.
Well, they don't want to let it go either, do they?
No, but the way to transform that stone into a lightness is to do a ritual of prayerfulness about the person. Put their photograph up among the Christmas things that you're putting up. You know, put an image of the one that you lost or you missed during the year and talk to them.
Yeah, yeah.
Talk to them.
And listen, I know you think we don't necessarily need to go to the church to pray either. I have a phrase written down here, pray in the cathedrals of nature, you're saying.
I'm saying it's not for me to be saying anything to anybody, but in my experience...
Well, you're here now, so go on.
All I'm saying is that it is good to do whatever suits you.
Yeah.
So that if what suits you is a walk in, you know, in Forest Park, or in the park in Dublin, or by the sea, then it's a beautiful place to be in your own heart and to kind of meditate. But if you have a propensity and a longing to open the door of a church, do that as well.
Yeah.
You have permission.
Yeah.
You know, you have permission to be Buddhist or Jewish or Hindu or Catholic or anything.
Yeah.
And you have a permission to be none of those religions.
Where are you at yourself at the moment? Down the years, I've met you at times and thought he's a Buddhist. Then I met you more recently. I thought, geez, he's gone back to the old faith of our fathers now and he's dyed in the wool Catholic. And then you might have you pegged as a Hindu another time. Are you flitting around?
I don't think... Maybe I am flitting around. And maybe that's... You know, maybe my problem is that I'm too shallow. But I think that what I've discovered in the past 10 years, let's say, was that I began to reinvent my own Christian faith for myself. I began to see that, you know, no matter how bad the institutions were behaving, it was still possible for me to, as an individual, to say, well, I believe. And I also feel that, you know, when I say I believe, it's like a language, and there are different languages, whether it's Buddhist or Christian or Jewish or Islam. You know, there are languages of poetry to try and express the mystery and sometimes the pain and suffering of being human. And it's very, very hard to do it. It's a poetry. It's not a rational, logical space to go into. But I do think we need it. I certainly need it.
Yeah. Michael, you keep coming back to alluding that you had a hard year there with between illness and obviously fear with it. And remember, you kind of would have first come to a lot of people's attention when you wrote about one of your illnesses, probably 10 years ago or more now, and the dark place it brought you to. So I know you're halfway through a new book now and you're kind of thinking about getting older and it and everything. Is it like it sounds like it's harder getting older for you and you keep getting crocked with these illnesses and operations and everything?
I think that 10 years ago when I got a serious illness, it led to depression because I think I wasn't prepared for being ill. I thought I was going to be perfect and healthy all my life.
Mm.
And I've had a couple of little bangs, but in the past 10 years, it's like what somebody described, you're like an old Cortina car. There's pieces of you falling off. And eventually you kind of accept that, well, that's what happens when you get older. Bits fall off. But it's not really something to worry about. So that this year, I had an operation on the back because there was arteries that gave me problems. But I lived through it with far better kind of equanimity than I did 10 years ago when I first got sick.
Yeah.
Because now I accept that I am vulnerable. I accept that, you know, being 68 years of age, you know, there's nowhere else to go but further up the road, right? So it kind of is probably good for me that I've had a number of illnesses, and it has certainly given me a deeper sense of faith. And I don't mean faith in just in Christian terms. I mean it in human terms. There's something utterly beautiful about being human, and it's happening in everybody, no matter what the religion and no religion. It is absolutely beautiful that we're here. There's something consciousness emerging in us, and it's an amazing journey, even despite all the darkness. And that's what you need to hold on to.
Yeah. You mentioned the word equanimity there, and more and more, I come to think that equanimity is the superpower we want, isn't it?
I totally agree with you. I think that detachment, equanimity is such a blissful place to be that when you're aware of the suffering, but you're not kind of possessed by it.
Yeah.
Can you try and articulate it
for people where that balance is and how we might pursue it?
Well, I think that I was at a time 10 years ago where I was possessed by suffering. In other words, if I got ill, it made me terribly stressed. And if I had a serious thing wrong with me, it really, really upset me. Whereas now I accept that I am... One of the things probably, to be honest with you, would be meditation. I'd have to say that's the simple trick, you know. So whether the meditation is in terms of Buddhism, yoga or Christianity, it's any of those spaces. Find what's in your heart. It's like there's an interior place you can live on the inside. And don't have it in your brain. Have it emotionally, in your heart, that you feel. Practice feeling grateful. Practice feeling grateful for breathing. You know, you talked about people who are really suffering from COVID. And you think of people who are homeless. And you step over them on the streets because they're in the doorways. And you think of people with mica in Donegal who are living in crumbled shambles of their whole life destroyed. So there's so much suffering that if you're like me, you ought to be saying, I need to be very, very grateful. You know, just for the very small things in life, to be grateful for them and to kind of reach out to the people who are suffering more.
Yeah.
I mean, I know that's traditional stuff for Christmas, but it is really, I passionately believe that, you know, we can heal each other by love. We can heal each other by touching each other. We can heal each other by hugging. And if you can't hug, then even in your loneliness, you reach out to somebody who's living on their own. You just do so much good, not for them, but for yourself.
Yeah, yeah. So actually, the people that we should be talking to about loneliness are not the lonely people. We should be telling everybody else.
I think that's exactly a very good point, Brendan. I think that's exactly it. And I'm the one, and all of us who are fine in life are the ones that we constantly talk about it. But do we do it? Do you know what I mean?
Mm.
Do we really reach out? And I was saying recently on a podcast, but I was talking about just do a text, because I never did Christmas cards, and I never got kind of emotionally sweaty about Christmas and the sort of hugging. But I've often noticed in the past 2 years that I will send a text to somebody saying, you know, I was thinking about you, hope you're okay. Now, that's just a text. And yet that can be profoundly helpful to somebody, because I have received texts like that sometimes when I was going into hospital, and somebody that you didn't think about, and they reach out to you, and it's just a text, and they say, I was thinking about you, hope you're okay. It's a beautiful thing to do.
Yeah.
Keep giving each other signals.
Yeah, yeah. And it's not an intrusion either, really, just to get a little
text. And signals that are reassuring. Yeah. Signals that are saying, you know, in some coded way, that actually is saying, I love you.
Yeah. So I'm imagining notes that we're all kind of sending out little bat radars to each other and just bouncing off each other, just little mips to each other, and keep everybody with the circuits going between them, yeah?
That's exactly it, yeah. Yeah. And that, come what may, you know, you have a smile on your face if you feel that love, if you feel a sense that we're in a community, that we share a sense of community, and that we care for the people who are homeless or the people who are really suffering. Yeah. If we do that, we feel better ourselves.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And we do forget that as well. We're always thinking, I must look after myself, but we forget that.
The best therapy is to reach out to the other person.
Yeah, yeah. Listen, that's all very high-minded for people who are thinking of Christmas now, and they're thinking of all its duty and the guilt and the people they're going to have to see and the stuff they're going to need to do that they don't want to do and everything. It can be like, on one hand, there's people who are lonely, and on the other hand, then there are people who get very stressed out around it as well, don't they?
I can't speak to that. I don't know how you stop the stress. Except stop.
Do not.
No, I don't.
Damn.
Except stop. Except, do you know what I mean? It's like, it goes back to the thing of live on the inside. Just recollect yourself. You know, do a breathing exercise. Do an exercise that become aware of your body. But if you're not into that sort of stuff, just stop.
Yeah.
Just stop. Sit down. You know, step away from the vehicle.
Step away
from the argument. Step away from the radio. Step away from all the ideas. Step away from the talking. Just go find yourself a place. Look out the window and just stop.
Yeah. You know what can work sometimes?
Shh. Go on.
Shh.
Doing that.
I forget who told me that. Just say to yourself, shh. You know?
Yes.
And I suppose it breaks the moment, doesn't it? It's all about just break the moment. Stop.
Yeah, because it's amazing how there's this kind of momentum to something in your head. Like, as I say, I have an issue with the cat, because I have two cats. One of them is wild, and she started scratching the beautiful furniture, and it got into my head, like it had been in my head for about 3 days, and somebody would need to stop me and say, stop, shh.
Yeah.
Step back from the cat. Don't be an eye on yourself. And the same things happen when you're watching the news and you're giving off. You start giving off when you're watching the news and you're getting annoyed with stuff. And then you're annoyed with the people you have to get presents for because you don't like Auntie Molly anyway. You know, just step back from it all and find space. And when you're in that space, that's what I'm saying as well. Try make some ritual that makes your world beautiful.
Okay. I'll read you a few texts. Someone says, what about music and poetry? They soothe my soul in these times. That's from Michael. And that's certainly true, isn't it? You couldn't argue with that. Someone else says, Michael's take on life is powerful. They mean Michael, you, not Michael, the previous texter. Can be applied to any of us, regardless of faith or belief. COVID has given us all an opportunity to take stock of life and become more aware of our own lives and what truly is important. That's from Hugh in Cork. Do you think it has? Are we sentimentalising it a bit with that, Michael? Or do you think it has actually kind of had that benefit?
Well, I sometimes look at history movies on the telly, and I look at the way life was in the 16th century or the 14th century. And I think, am I lucky to be here now?
Yeah.
And I look at life.
They were happy too, though, because most of them accepted their place in the world because they thought that, well, this is what God's plan was, that I would be this and I would be nothing more. And there was no pressure on a peasant to become a lord or anything. So they weren't maybe as stressed out, like, you know.
I don't know about that. I think that we have given the human species, all I'm saying is, it seems to me that the journey has been one of improvement.
Yeah.
And despite the huge issue that we have to deal with now, which is climate change, we still have given, you know, there's less poverty in places like China, India, Africa. There's a gradual kind of increase. It doesn't mean we should be self-satisfied because the, you know, social injustice around COVID vaccinations in Africa is disgraceful. But to be optimistic and positive, I think, gets more done. And I think it's because the human species has this great propensity to optimism. You know, yeah. Humans dream things. We dream getting to the moon. We dream yeah. democracy. We dream egalitarianism. We dream freedom. We dream.
And you know what we do as well? We manage to come together as well with a shared dream and cooperate to make it happen. And that's what makes us different, isn't it?
Yeah. It is. And just as World War One was like hell, and yet the things that came out of it in the 30, 40 years subsequent were extraordinary. So I think if we're living through darkness, hold on to the light, because that's what will really triumph.
Okay. And Michael, I know you have a beautiful illustrated book out for Christmas. It's a kind of a greatest hits of some of your other work. It's called A Cloud Where the Birds Rise. And given that you didn't mention it yourself, your discipline was fantastic. I will mention that, of course, you have a podcast and people can get it on the Patreon. Is that right?
The Michael Harding podcast is on patreon.com, and I blather away just like this all the time.
Okay, no stopping. Michael Harding.
To keep myself sane.
Yeah, well, Michael, I think you helped keep a lot of people a bit sane there now today. So nice to talk to you, as always. I'll just finish off with another text. Someone says, Michael is right. Don't ever try and get over the loss of a loved one. Get used to it and keep on loving them.